Welcome to Supply Chain Now, the voice of global supply chain. Supply Chain Now focuses on the best in the business for our worldwide audience, the people, the technologies, the best practices, and today's critical issues, the challenges and opportunities. Stay tuned to hear from those making global business happen right here on Supply Chain Now.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Scott Luton and the one and only Kevin L. Jackson with you here on Supply Chain Now. Welcome to today's show. Kevin, how you doing?
I think I'm all right. How's my face?
You look great, man.
You got to look good for this type of show.
It's true, folks. We got a great show. Very interesting show here today. Unique show, I call it, as we feature a rock and roll leader from out in industry, and we dial it in on the intersection of supply chain, retail, technology, leadership, all in the beauty industry.
Yes.
So stay tuned for a very informative, enlightening, and entertaining conversation with a big guest today. Kevin, should be a great one, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm a little light on the beauty salon, but you know, this is going to get me up to speed.
Telling you, it's an intriguing conversation we've got teed up here today. And today's episode, we should say, is presented in partnership with our friends over at Microsoft, who's doing some pretty cool things in the industry, helping to move us all forward successfully. More on that a bit later. All right, so Kevin, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our incredible guest here today. You ready?
Yes, I'm on board.
Let's make it happen. Our guest today is a proven leader with a strong track record of accomplishing big things in the beauty industry. She's held various leadership roles at L'Oreal, where she has successfully managed large-scale operations and supply chain functions for multiple divisions and brands. Our guest's expertise in supply chain management extends well beyond North America, as she has held leadership positions in L'Oreal's London and Paris offices, where she successfully tackled a variety of initiatives. Get this, Kevin. Integrating new brands, increased distribution center capacity, and implemented cost-saving strategies, and a whole lot more. Now, well known for her ability to drive collaboration, upskill teams, and lead through challenging times, I can promise you, you're all in for a real treat learning from our guest here today. Hey, Caroline, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me today. I'm both excited and honored.
We're really excited as well. We all really enjoyed the last appearance you had on Logistics with Purpose. And hey, Kevin, we have got an outstanding conversation here today with Caroline, huh?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it, actually. This is one of the areas I find myself light in. So, you know, supply chain for salons, I mean, that sounds like it's really complex, actually.
Oh, we got the right person, Caroline, right? We're going to get Kevin informed and up to speed on the wonderful world of the beauty industry, especially where supply chain comes into the equation. But before we get there, Caroline and Kevin, got a little fun warm-up question for Caroline here today, because we did our homework and we understand that when you're not moving mountains in global supply chain, you love to run and swim. So I'm going to ask you, Caroline, what's been one of the most picturesque places in the world where you've been able to take a run or swim a few laps?
Yes. So I love Corsica. I don't know if you guys have been there, but nothing is like Corsica in the Mediterranean Sea. And there I can both run and in beautiful like surroundings with the mountain and the sea and the Mediterranean flowers. And then you get super, super hot and then just dive in the sea. There is nothing like that in my life.
Oh man, wow. Kevin, that's quite a
really
picture.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, Kevin, have you been to Corsica?
Actually, I have not been to Corsica. I've been to a lot of other islands in the Mediterranean while I was in the Navy. But when I thought about that question, I was thinking about a location that was relatively close to Corsica.
Okay. Do tell.
So, I mean, as many of you know, I was in the Navy and I was on an aircraft carrier at Theodore Roosevelt. I was a runner in high school and in college. But as you get older, your knees kind of get bad. But I did get an opportunity to run along the coast in Nice, France.
It's pretty close. That's right on the other side. But you got to make it to the other side. Corsica is so much more beautiful than Nice. I just
really.
Oh yeah, but I really enjoyed it. You know, I didn't do any swimming, but the run was just beautiful. I did bike. I did do like a century while I was there. So I rode my bike along the French Riviera, and it was beautiful.
Nice.
Well, thanks to you both for making me feel so inadequate and not visiting either of those places, but I'll put it on my list. But Caroline, thank you so much for sharing. Can't wait to get into our conversation here today. And Kevin, looking forward as always to your contributions. We've got a great show teed up. So I want to first get into, as we kind of level set the conversation here today, I want to talk more about L'Oreal, the world's largest cosmetics company, where some 90,000 team members, AKA, I think y'all refer to them as L'Orealians. Did I say that right, Caroline?
Yeah, we do say that. L'Orealians, yes.
I love that. So these 90,000 L'Orealians have been passionately focused on creating beauty for over 110 years now. So tell us a little bit about the company and then about your role as well, Caroline.
Yes. So I have the pleasure of running the supply chain for SalonCentric. And I'm going to talk to you mostly about SalonCentric. You know L'Oreal, you just said it. They're mostly known for the brand, right? We have 36 brands, number one beauty company in the world, amazing brands like luxury, consumer division. You find us everywhere. Now, SalonCentric is the only retailer that L'Oreal owns. SalonCentric was actually a retailer that was created by L'Oreal in 2008. And it's pretty large, right? We have all in all 870 stores between our own stores, franchisees, and sub-distributors. So we retail for hair professional product mostly and some beauty professional. So you got to have your license before you can buy from us. So
okay.
Kevin and Scott, you got to work on your license. So you got to be a professional. And our customer ships very omnichannel, which is, of course, the new ways of shopping. So they go online, they go in store, they do a bit of both. And what I find super interesting is that this is a customer that is mostly an independent. This is a passionate stylist, mostly, that orders our product. There's been a shift. You know, it used to be bigger salons, but there's been a shift, and it's more and more independent stylists. So they run their own business. They don't run on a lot of cash. So we have to have a super excellent supply chain because they're really relying on us for the service they're going to do tomorrow.
Right.
From the product that they ordered yesterday. So I'm in charge of the supply chain group. That's like about 600 people from planning to the customer experience team. That's how we call them, to the distribution team. And mostly my focus, you know, as it should be, is the transformation and how we make our service always better. So focus on speed. Like I just said, we improve our speed and now we can service all our customers 70% in less than 2 days. Very focused on the tech as well.
Oh, wow, man.
That's amazing. I don't have my license, but I have two nieces that do have their license. And the thing I really like about what you just said is the focus on small businesses, because these are independent beauticians. They are running their own business, and timeliness and receipt of product and the ability to have a supplier that's responsive is critical. And yes, I really like the approach that you sort of highlighting there. Less than 2 days for any delivery. Yeah.
We think about it. We like to say, I like to say, we're a bit their business pantry, right? They can't have inventory. Mm. So we are their inventory. They just need it like shipped, like instantly, you know, for tomorrow.
Yes. So like Kevin, I love how SalonCentric, as part of the L'Oreal Group, is really powering entrepreneurs globally. I love that. You mentioned how you are been focused on transformation. You also referenced how your customer profile has been evolving over the years. And Kevin also picked up on two days, speed, and more speed.
Yes.
And you know, taking care of that customer. And when you mention omnichannel, to my brain, there's lots of different definitions for that. But you know, meeting the customer where they want to interact with the brand and when and how. And it seems like that clearly has been a big important aspect of your transformation there at SalonCentric, Caroline. Is that right?
Yeah, that's very right. And it's 1.4 million customers. So it's a big business, you know, SalonCentric. And we got to do it right for the 1.4 million customers.
That's right. Entrepreneurs out there making it happen for their customers. All right. So let's talk about the powerful company culture that's behind what you just described, that incredible mission and the culture that empowers that and allows you to make that happen. So when it comes to the company culture there at SalonCentric and L'Oreal, what are some of your favorite elements of that?
Okay, so I guess I'll speak mostly of L'Oreal. I'm what we call a L'Oreal baby. So I've been 24 years in L'Oreal. That's kind of a lifetime, right? I mean, anecdotally, I actually left the company at some point.
Okay.
I left for 2 years and then I came back because I missed it. I think it does show the power of that culture. Mm-hmm. So what I like personally about the culture in L'Oreal is the passion and the vibe. You know, when I was in this other company, it was great. I had a super experience, was very lean, things were efficient, my role was well scoped. But I love in L'Oreal, you know, the passion, the high energy. People have bold dreams, big ideas, while still being very hands-on and practical and knowing their business. We like to say you need to be a little bit of a poet and a farmer in L'Oreal, and it's very true. Everything you do, you need to be hands-on, hands in the mud, I would say sometimes, but also always like innovative and entrepreneur, and everybody has that passion and that high energy. Our mission is to create the beauty that moves the world. That's how our CEO coined it. And it's about giving confidence to people, you know, everywhere in the world, and empowering them to be their best and their authentic self. And of course, that, you know, means that in our company culture, it puts a lot of emphasis on people, on ethics, on the planet, right? Because it's about doing it right in every way, right?
Yeah.
And sustainability, of course, for us in operation is very front of mind. We got to reduce the CO2 by 50% by 2030. And most of these goals are with operation team. So it's really exciting to see the operation and supply chain team really focused on that mission outside of their supply chain scope.
So, Caroline, just so before I go to Kevin, just so you know, after you expounded on what it's like to be part of the team, I've just have applied for my license at SalonCentric because I want to be part of the beauty that moves the world. Really, that was a beautiful answer that touched on a variety of aspects of what I'll call supply chain beauty, right? From sustainability to empowering people to be their full authentic selves, as you mentioned. I mean, gosh, Kevin, what stood out to you though?
You know, the passion really stood out to me, but with respect to culture, it seems to me that the culture within L'Oreal matches the culture of your customers, your 1.2 million customers, because being in beauty, being a beautician, being a hairstylist, any of that has to be a passion, and you have to really want to love to do that. And for such a huge global company, your ability to match the passion of your entrepreneurs that you support to lift them up, really, that's really impressive.
Agreed. Agreed. Quick follow-up to some of what you touched on there. And I love the bold dreams and big ideas, but in a practical, let's get stuff done type manner. I love how you described that, Caroline. Speaking of bold ideas and bold plans, you got some big targets, ambitious targets when it comes to sustainability, right? Could you share that really quick before we move on?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we have to reduce our carbon emission by 50% between 2016 and 2030. So just that in itself is a very big goal. It's broken down by like many, many different KPIs. And I guess, you know, for me in my scope, the most important one that I'm going to quote is reducing the carbon emission in transportation, obviously, by 50%. And we do a lot of consolidation and work on our network to be able to achieve that. And the second one is no waste. You know, like we have a large catalog, a large, you know, distribution network. And we got to be on top of our inventory because we allow no waste. It's a rule in L'Oreal. We need to reduce the waste.
Wow.
Kevin, if any, you know, Caroline's got quite a track record for making things like this happen. So I can't wait to check back in a couple years. I bet she's going to beat that target. We'll see. I don't want to sign you up, Caroline, for any too aggressive targets.
No pressure, Kevin, Scott. No pressure.
No pressure.
Hey, you're moving mountains to get that done. And I get that, kind of kidding aside. But Kevin, talk about passion also for doing the right thing and making some really big, aggressive sustainability gains too, right?
Yeah. And I really want to point out that what Caroline is talking about is very difficult, especially in the retail marketplace, because it's about packaging. And especially in the beauty industry, plastics is a huge part of the packaging and the shipping. And that's really the only way they'll be able to lower their carbon footprint is by addressing the packaging and reducing the use of plastics. So this is a huge challenge, especially in a supply chain world.
Yeah, and one of the key things, you know, that we do is new product introduction, because we have always a constant turnover of products. So we have these processes and kind of rules as well that every new product needs to be with a lower, you know, amount of plastic, lower impact on the planet. So that's a well-established process now that's helping us, you know, achieve this roadmap.
I love that, Caroline, you know, baking a more circular type of thinking into product development. That's a critical part of how we can accomplish these big goals together, really across industry. All right. So you mentioned earlier, because I want to get to the human factor. Me and Kevin love talking about the human factor as much as we like talking supply chain and technology. And I know you're passionate as well, very passionate about the human factor in global supply chain. I think you mentioned about 600 folks make up the supply chain team there at SalonCentric at L'Oreal. So when it comes to building these high-performing teams that you're so well known for, what are some of your key thoughts? What are some of your proven approaches to building teams that win?
Yeah. I mean, first, I would say we manage a lot of people in supply chain, generally speaking, right? And I have a huge appreciation for the leaders around me, the leaders I manage, that, you know, often I think they do such a better job than I ever would, because it's not easy to manage a distribution center that has, you know, 400 people. They work on a 9-to-5 shift, and you got to keep them always happy and, you know, engaged. So, you know, I give a lot of kudos to the supply chain leader from being such fantastic and showing true leadership, really. And, you know, I tell you a story that really got me into L'Oreal and into supply chain is when I joined the company, the head of the plant where I was wrote me and like did a full tour of me. And, you know, he really showed so much care and love to me, not knowing me, you know, he treated me like really like his daughter. He was really like an example for me, and how, you know, I think about the human factor in everything I do at the end of the day is about treating the people like they were your family, you know.
I love that.
You know, high performing team, for me, it's two simple things that I think about. You know, everybody's got their own. But for me, I think a high performing team is a high level of transparency and directness. Mm-hmm. And they can challenge each other and they have no secret. You know, at least that's what I've seen when I've, you know, been even part of a high performing team. I think that's super important. And, you know, one thing I always keep in mind. And the second one is, you know, having high standard. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's how we all achieve things that we never thought we could and being proud of it. Right. So it's also about this elevated standards within the team. And, you know, again, being able to challenge ourselves first, starting with us, you know, being very accountable, and then as a whole team.
Wow.
So, Kevin, I loved all of those main points. And I'll go to the first one, as Caroline was talking about the colleague that kind of took her in and gave her a tour and really focused on treating folks like team members, like family, right? Family first, that transparency and that directness that she mentioned is so powerful, especially in teams that need to move fast and be right often. And then, of course, not watering down standards, right? That's one of the final things you mentioned. That's really important when it comes to building high-performing teams as well as leading and managing high-performing teams. But your thoughts there, Kevin?
Well, you know, high-performance teams, they care about each other. What sort of stood out for me is when Caroline said she got the tour of the plant and she felt like she was the gentleman's daughter. Right? It was real care came out. And this was a very initial meeting. And it just seems to me, this is a huge family of almost 2 million people around the world that really care about each other and lift each other up and really support the dreams and aspirations of small businesses everywhere.
Well said, Kevin. As you were sharing that, Caroline, it made me think of authenticity comes to mind.
Yeah.
Right? Keeping it real with the team. That goes back to how one of y'all's missions there is powering your customers' authentic selves. So there's a very common theme here, which I love. Your final thoughts, Caroline, then I'm going to switch over to a couple topics in global supply chain management. Did Kevin and I get all that right when it comes to your team building approach?
Yeah, no, totally. You know, one more thing that actually really matters to me, and it's in the spirit of caring, is making sure everybody can set their own boundaries, right? We work so hard and we're so passionate in L'Oréal. Mm-hmm. It's intense job as well. It's something I learned, you know, through my life and career, is I got to set good boundaries, because otherwise I could be working like day and night and my team too. So that's something I really encourage them to do. For me, I swim every morning. For somebody else, might be something else. But it's really important. Like, you know, you got to set yourself some clear boundaries and be happy, whatever you do, right? Be happy in life, be happy in work. And to do that, you got to, you know, make sure you have that time for yourself.
Well said. And, you know, your boundaries may be different than your colleagues' boundaries, which may be different than, you know, other team members' boundaries. And I love how, you know, you swim in the mornings. That's one of your boundaries, right? Your team knows it. And I think setting these personal boundaries are so important to working successfully on great teams these days. All right, Kevin and Caroline, I can't wait to get into these global supply chain management topics. And we're going to start with something we talk about all the time, but in the invisibility, you know, that I would argue is quickly, very quickly becoming table stakes, it seems. But as we've talked about, I don't know, 3,000 times, we've got to have the solutions that visibility brings to the equation. Caroline, your thoughts there?
Yes, so that's a topic I'm really excited to talk to you about. So for me, you know, I've worked in L'Oréal in many different jobs. And now in this role in salon-centric, what I found so powerful is I get to see the end-to-end, right? I get to be connected directly with our customers and get all these insights and then carry them on to manufacturing. A lot of our products are manufactured in our own plant. And that's like so powerful. And we use a tool that's called NPS. I mean, I'm sure other companies use that, Net Promoter Score, that every day I get the rating, the comments from the purchase and the supply chain services that our customer got. And that to me was a game changer in how, you know, we manage our supply chain. And I used to be called like the queen of KPIs, right? We love KPIs in supply chain, don't we? Like, we have hundreds of KPI. And I think sometimes we get it a bit too complicated. I certainly did. And this was a game changer, because I actually think, you know, the only KPI that's really relevant is this NPS. Just focus on the customer and all the priorities can be derived from that, right? Because we can do so many things. But the name of the game is being able to be focused on a few important things that will make a difference. And this NPS comments and results really give it to me like traits, you know. So we've made that like really a tool and cascaded down to all the teams. So now the operatives on the floor in the distribution center, they can see, you know, what the customers say about their packing. You know, they get those comments, oh, my parcel was so well packed, bravo. And on the opposite, you know, when something goes wrong, they get to see precisely, and it's connected like directly to the order. So we can really narrow it down so they can see, oh, that was wrong. Okay. And they take it very personally. You know, I think it's also great to engage the people. So talk about visibility. I think that's a great way to do.
I love it.
All hail. All hail the queen of KPIs.
Kevin, you beat me to it. You beat me to it. I was going to say, I think that was an ABBA tune, queen of KPIs. I think ABBA's saying about that. But, you know, Kevin, kidding aside, I love Caroline's sense of humor. I mean, passion, business, we're going to get results. We're going to build a great team. We're going to have each other's back and treat people like family. But it all comes with a nice sense of humor. Caroline's the type of person I'd love to work for. But Kevin, what'd you hear there when it comes to visibility and her passion there?
Careful what you wish for.
Good point. Good point, Caroline.
Good point, yeah. What I'm sort of hearing is a focus on that last mile. Logistics must be very complex, because you're delivering to entrepreneurs. They aren't, you know, maybe some of them are in big stores, but many of them are in small shops. Many of them may be working from home, or they work at their client's home. So that last mile of delivery and logistics, I mean, in order to keep your net promoter score high, you really have to focus on the little details. So I applaud you.
No doubt. Of course, that goes back to the complexity behind making these big sustainability gains, right?
Yes.
Mile, I'll tell you what. All right. And NPS, folks out there maybe listening or watching us, Net Promoter Score, Google it. If it's new to you, that's okay. We're all new to things, but it can really have a powerful impact on your team, whether it's a big one or a small one.
Oh, yeah. One thing I'd like to add, too, yeah. is a shout out on data. This is a data-driven operations in the supply chain. And the queen of KPIs understand the importance of data. Not only that, she knows how to leverage that data right. to make sure that her customers are satisfied.
That's right. All right. That title's going to be the gift that keeps on giving, Caroline.
That was a long title. My point was not I got one KPI and it's NPS. No more queen of KPI.
Instead of like billboards KPIs. And billboards of KPIs, exactly. focusing in on data. Exactly. Yeah, well said.
The one important
so,
one.
The yes. queen of KPIs.
Well, let's do this. Let's all talk about silo busting. You know, what's old is new again. Global business still has a ton of silo busting to do. Your thoughts on the importance of breaking down organizational and functional silos and how to do it. Caroline.
Yeah. And, you know, being in a big company, it's hard, you know, and it's something that sort of keeps me awake at night, right? In a company of 90,000 people, there's no way you can be connected with everybody. So, you know, there's always going to be some type of silo. Now, what mm-hmm. I think what L'Oréal does successfully is that they empower the business units to have enough autonomy and enough innovation capabilities, be entrepreneur. And that forces us as operation, because we're structured very much in that way, to remain very customer-centric and business-centric. And I think that's really important. And that's how we can go about, you know, competing in a business and in an environment that is incredibly volatile. Now, of course, the balance is still, supply chain is technical, right? So we can't be operating in that silo and not know what everyone else is doing. So it's also about leveraging the, what we call our network of expertise, and pulling, you know, the experts from all around the world so we don't reinvent the wheel.
One of the biggest challenges we have, timelessly on one hand, but on the other hand, in this rapidly changing environment where we have all this data, being able to empower, as you said, Caroline, the business units, by extension, the team members, right, to make decisions confidently and quickly and accurately and successfully. Now, we're going to fail sometimes, right? But I think an inseparable part, Kevin, of really breaking down silos as best we can, even with, you know, small businesses or really big companies like SalonCentric at L'Oréal, empowering employees is such a critical part of that. Kevin, your thoughts?
You know, that empowerment requires communications. And that's really the only way you can have all the different organizations within this large company to be both successful, independent, and in concert with the other, you know, 90,000 people that are trying to fulfill their own aspirations. So yes. communication is critical. You know, you've talked a bit about the technology you've used, but you've also talked about how you care about the people, and both of them are critical.
Yes. Hey, Caroline, we're going to talk about technology and the ongoing revolution here in just a second. Picking up on what Kevin was talking about, communication, I would argue as well, get your take if you'd agree. We often hear about these islands of excellence, right? These islands of excellence where certain units are so well, but they keep it in their silo or on their island. And I think part of the critical communication that Kevin was talking about that made me think, hey, when one unit does really, really well, let's share that and cascade it across the organization so we can all win. Is that pretty critical from where you sit?
Yes, for sure. I mean, yeah, I guess in L'Oréal, we're pretty connected. We have like metrics organization, obviously. So, you know, I'm very connected with like the head of the global supply chain professional division in France, and then connected with the function head. And then that forces us to communicate, right?
Yeah.
So everyone does, you know, their offsite or their town hall, and that keeps the communication flowing. But you're right. You know, that's kind of the only way to inspire ourselves and not reinvent the wheel and live on
yes.
an island for sure.
Right. And that keeps those bold dreams and big ideas, keeps them in motion, right, across the organization.
Yeah. And, you know, we still believe in the in-person. I'm just going to say that, too.
Mm.
We work remotely as well in L'Oréal, obviously. But we believe in in-person, you know, meetings. And we do a lot of that. And that helps the community. You meet people that otherwise, you know, you would not necessarily connect with because you don't have like an operation reason to be. But in the corridor, the coffee machine, so many good conversations, you know, happen that feeds. No, it's true. Eh? And then we do travel still a little bit too. So we see what's happening on the other end of the world. For me, traveling to, you know, my vendors, my distribution centers, the plants, it's pretty cool. I get so much out of it. Every time I do it, I'm very excited. I'm going to visit finally a UPS sorting center on Monday.
I'm excited
for that.
Oh, it's that relationship, building that relationship, but not only internal to L'Oreal, but to your partners in business.
Yeah. Well said. Now, are you able to communicate a little bit as you're swimming those laps and get a couple of conversations in there?
That's a challenge. We need to invent some technology here, Kevin. I need your help. I would love to do that.
Yes, Kevin.
I'm there.
Help us out.
The pool is where I get my best ideas, too.
Okay.
As an introvert, you know, everybody's different, but I'm introvert. So that time for myself is where I get the best idea and make the best plan also.
All the inspiration.
Yes. For me, it's in the shower, kind of similarly.
While you're singing ABBA? Is that what it is?
That's right. Yeah, how'd you know, Kevin? I need to follow Caroline's lead, though, and get into the pool and get some healthy exercise. We'll see if we can't put that in action. All right, so Caroline, we're talking. You just challenged Kevin to help us out and develop some new technology. That's where I want to go next, right? Because this is such a remarkable time. You know, I believe it's always a remarkable time in the world of supply chain, but goodness gracious, this ongoing supply chain technology, truly revolution that's been taking place for a while now. What breakthroughs in this regard have really caught your attention, Caroline?
I just think this is a unique moment for supply chain where the AI particularly is really going to game change and revolutionize what we do in a very good and positive way. I'm super excited about it. You know, for so many years I heard, oh, supply chain is the role of the future. And I don't know if I truly believed it myself. Now I believe it. I believe it. Yeah,
Love that.
There was a time where we were looking for data, right? We wanted to have the sellout so we can do a better forecasting. Now we have so much data. Me at SalonCentric, I have so much incredible, rich customer data and really impressive. Now, you know, what AI is enabling us to do is to really get from the data so many good insights to respond, to make the best, to reduce the low value added work. There's so much potential. Think about, you know, one of our biggest challenge, obviously, is assortment. And assortment is critical to optimize inventory, reduce the waste, optimize the business, get more sales. But assortment with the gazillions of SKUs that we have and the deep distribution, it cannot be done without the technology. But now with the technology, it's something we could, you know, adjust day in, day out. Same for managing our distribution center with visual and AI, you know, using the videos. There's so much we can do, digital twins to improve our productivity, to improve quality. I don't have that, but I dream about having pictures of each parcel before they go out so I can screen if they have damages and if they have no shortage. And then customer experience. So our customer experience team is where we expect to have the biggest transformation and really, you know, change them from being in charge of transactional work and transactional communication to the customers to being business drivers, you know, as we like to call it, ignite the moment that matters with the customer. So take these every few minutes that they're going to talk to the customer with the help of technology, they can really have the right conversation instead of just solving a very transactional problem. So much potential, and the potential of also reducing so much low value-added work that we still have. You know, we love Excel spreadsheets in supply chain, but many people do, but not everybody does. And, you know, that's going to be something that's really going to help us too. So super excited about this moment.
Yes, wow. I can tell. And I am too. Kevin, what was your favorite part of Caroline's response when it comes to the supply chain technology revolution?
You know, I really wanted to jump on all of that, right? So what did I hear? I heard sensors at endpoint that could collect information and data. I heard computer vision so that you can inspect these packages to make sure that they're going out as they should. I heard blockchain or digital ledger technology to make sure you understand the pedigree of the data. And I heard using data to create actionable insights, leveraging artificial intelligence so that you wouldn't be overwhelmed by the data, that you could focus on the most important aspects of the data and implement actions and take actions that would address maybe issues or problems. Yes. And I also heard that don't be afraid of the technology. So many people are afraid of things like artificial intelligence. They think they're coming to take my job. But what I heard from Caroline is embracing technology to make your work better, to be able to be more efficient in what you do, so that you could set those boundaries and build those relationships within your company and with your ecosystem partners. So I don't know if you said any of that, but that's what I heard.
I think, well said, Kevin, is what I think. You know, two things stuck out to me. And I see a lot of common themes throughout this conversation we're having, going back to focus, right? Mm-hmm. Caroline talked about the power of focus and the power of, instead of looking at 3,000 metrics, let's look at one. How about that? And, you know, using technology in an organization like SalonCentric and the L'Oreal Group, the greater global organization, you've got tidal waves of data and leaning on innovative technology to really find those signals that you got to be looking for so you can make better decisions rather than try to go through the whole sandbox of information. The other thing I heard that I really liked, she talked about how they're leveraging technology to shape and make conversations a lot more effective rather than just transactional. You know, business has to be done. So transactions are important. Sometimes those conversations have to be had, but bring more value to the table and to really take customer experience to the next level, leveraging technology there to change the conversations we're having. Caroline, I think that's brilliant.
And we shouldn't be scared. I mean, this is going to be making everyone's job so much more interesting. Think about those customer service representatives that are, you know, solving issues. Instead of that, they can like drive business and create value to their customer. Isn't that more interesting? Yes.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. And to our listeners and viewers out there, hey, I'm going to pick up on this. Don't be scared. Don't fear, because that's a really important quality. If you're any conscious about all these changes taking place in technology and what's going to be replaced, hey, if you lean into change and embrace it and volunteer and learn new things, there's no better insurance policy for your career. And by the way, you get to learn new cool things every day, you know, write your own ticket.
Yeah, that's one thing I heard that also caught my attention. You want to be the best learner those days. You just want to be the best learner. So as things change, you know, it's okay. We don't know everything. Like, I mean, I can't program AI. I feel very bad about it. I mean, but I do want to try. But, you know, like if we can at least try to learn, that's what's happened, I think.
Excellent point to kind of wrap here today, Caroline. I love that. So many cool things y'all are doing, impactful, changing the business, right? Taking care of customers. And as that continues to evolve, taking care of team members while you take care of business and you build new dreams and bring them to fruition. Such a great story here today, Caroline. Okay. How can folks, Kevin, I'm going to get your patented key takeaway here in just a moment, but I want to make sure folks can connect with Caroline Toi, Senior Vice President, SalonCentric Integrated Supply Chain with L'Oreal Group. Caroline, how can folks connect with you?
Well, I'm in the obvious LinkedIn. I'm there like everybody else. And yeah, let's stay connected. Thank you to you for animating our group of supply chain passionate people. I love what you guys are doing. And thank you for doing it and bringing us all together.
Thank you.
Caroline, hey, we're working on our licenses too, so we'll see you again really soon. But Caroline Toi, again, Senior Vice President, SalonCentric Integrated Supply Chain with L'Oreal. Thanks so much for being here, Caroline.
All right. Thanks to you both. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
All right. Kevin, that was quite a conversation, just like we promised folks. So before we get into a couple final questions I've got for you, what is your key takeaway from today's discussion?
Well, I really love the way they had a focus on the small business. It's family to them, but they're leveraging technology to really, you know, take stock of that last mile of the supply chain, that delivery, so that they can make their customers, these entrepreneurs, look good.
Yes, I love that. They're empowering those bold dreams and big ideas for all of their entrepreneurial customers out there. So, all right, before we go, Kevin, we just got to talk about some of the really cool things that Microsoft is doing out there in the exciting world of retail. What you got?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the Microsoft Cloud is really focused on elevating the shopping experience. They want to transform it through data analytics and store technology to strengthen those customer relationships. You know how Caroline was really focused on relationships. So they're building a real-time supply chain to create resilient and sustainable supply chain by connecting data access across your entire ecosystem. And she's going to be mad at me, but no, Caroline, she was talking a lot about how data supported her decisions. I really like that. And Microsoft understands the importance of empowering the store associate to equip the workforce with retail solutions that improve productivity, collaboration, and customer satisfaction. Caroline was focused on that product score, right? To make sure that all her customers was satisfied.
Yeah, well said. Using technology to empower the queen and the rest of the royal family of KPIs to make things happen. I love that, Kevin.
Yes.
All right. What a great conversation here today. Let's make sure folks can connect with you and find Digital Transformers out there. It's a real popular series, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're exploding. And on our next version of Digital Transformers, we're going to be highlighting the importance of artificial intelligence. Well, we look at that all the time because it's really driving digital transformation across every industry. So don't miss it.
Don't miss it at all. I hope to sit down and interview your digital twin out there doing big things in the AI space soon. But kidding aside, Kevin, always a pleasure. And folks, find Digital Transformers wherever you get your podcasts from. Folks, big thanks to all of our listeners and viewers across the globe. What a great conversation here today. Big thanks to Caroline Toi with SalonCentric and L'Oreal. Big thanks to our collaborative partners, as we mentioned, over at Microsoft, helping us to bring these wonderful, inspirational stories and leaders like this one to our global audience. Kevin, always a pleasure to knock out these conversations with you.
No, thank you very much. I really enjoyed it. This really hit the mark.
Oh, it sure did. But listeners, folks, you aren't off the hook. All right. The challenge now falls to you. You got to take something from this conversation, at least just one thing, and put it into action. Your team's ready to do business different and be more successful. Empower them, change the business, transform the business, and we'll all be better off. So with all of that said, on behalf of our entire team here at Supply Chain Now, Scott Luton challenged you and all of our listeners to do good, to give forward, and to be the change that's needed. And we'll see you next time right back here at Supply Chain Now. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for being a part of our Supply Chain Now community. Check out all of our programming at supplychainnow.com and make sure you subscribe to Supply Chain Now anywhere you listen to podcasts. And follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. See you next time on Supply Chain Now.